It's time.
John Gruden's our guest, head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders.
JT the Brick, great talking to you. Hope you're well, man.
It's time.
Well, you know how we want to play, JT. You know me probably better than anybody out there.
It's time for the JT the Brick Show.
We're going to play old school football.
JT the Brick on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Can't wait to play in that stadium and get this party started. You got no idea.
Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you. Hope you're having a great day on Raider Nation Radio. 9:20 a.m. in that beautiful Raiders mobile app, where more and more and more people are finding us there. As we are brought to you by PT's Taverns, PT's Sean Patrick, Sierra Gold, and the SG Bar, where locals go for great food, cold beer, happy hour, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. You can cheer on the Knights and the Raiders. Find a PT's, and you can't get enough of their food. They got you covered with the Touchdown Party Pack. Self-care is a $6 burger with fries on National Cheeseburger Day the other day. Great cheeseburger there. Food excitement in the Vegas football jersey giveaway. It's not too late. Stop by any tavern for your chance to win a football jersey. Every 100 base points earned equals one entry. Go enter to get a Vegas football jersey. What a show today. Wow. But a big announcement I want to say early. Yesterday we did a tribute show to Black Hole Rob Rivera, who passed away a couple of days ago, and the outpouring was incredible. The outpouring was amazing. I got a text from Coach Gruden last night to come in, and I do my TV interview with him every Thursday. I did that. I'm back in studio, and John Gruden had a lot to say about Black Hole Rob Rivera. That's it. Silver and Black Show, Saturday at 4. You'll find it all over the site at Raiders.com. It was very important for Coach Gruden to mention the Black Hole, what the Black Hole means to him, and how Rob Rivera, co-founder of the Black Hole, helped build it globally, as he kept referring to globally. So that was really cool. That was something really important to me, that Coach Gruden cared as much to reach out to me and to want to include that in our interview. We'll have that entire interview tomorrow. We always play the John Gruden interview on Friday, probably around 1 o'clock. That's when we do it, straight up at 1 o'clock. And it was moving. It's been a very tough week for the Rivera family and the Black Hole and a lot of Raider fans. And you showed up yesterday, and I can't thank you enough. I think it helps the family heal, and it's a big part of the Raider Nation. So that was very important to me. And today I was very inspired as I left the Raider facility. Knowing that Coach Gruden, who's got to put a game plan together, has got guys who are hurt and guys who can't get on the field, and he wanted to talk to me about Black Hole Rob. Really cool. How many teams do that for fans? Not many. Believe me, very special. So I'm really happy to share that with you before we get going. What a show. KJ Wright. Looking forward to interviewing him at the top of the hour. 1 o'clock, KJ Wright, formerly of Seattle. Now the Raider linebacker on the transition to the silver and black from the Legion of Boom and the success he had. Bottom of this hour, Fred Biletnikoff. Fred's like a second dad to me. I got one dad. No one will ever compete with my dad. Fred means everything to me. The Biletnikoff crab feed is coming to Vegas. It's a really big deal. It's one of the signature Raider events you can go to. Tables are available. We need Vegas to step up. This is a monster event in the Bay Area. It's the first time the Biletnikoffs are doing it in Vegas. We need your support. I need the big rollers, the mid rollers, the low rollers, everybody who's out there, buy a table, buy tickets, and come to this. Fred Biletnikoff, Raiders royalty, is having his crab feed. All you can eat crab. Unbelievable entertainment. Lincoln Kennedy MCs it. I help out. It's a great event. It's a family event. I've been going to it for years, and we'll talk to Freddie at the bottom of the hour. Two great Raider insiders, Vic Tafer from The Athletic, will join us. Also, Bill Williamson. We've been covering the Raiders as long as I've been covering the Raiders. He knows the team inside and out. Vic is fabulous. As you know, Vic has as good access to any NFL beat writer in the entire league. And the Big O, Orlando Azulgari, diehard Dolphin fan, Dolphin radio host. You want to talk about going behind enemy lines? This guy's good. I worked with him for years on SiriusXM. He's good. We'll have him cover off on all of that. So that's a hell of a radio show. And I only got time for you now. so I can get you into the show now in the first half hour before Freddie B comes on. I need the game plan on how to beat the Dolphins. After sitting down with Coach Gruden today, he is concerned. He is concerned because everybody's under the ether popping their chest. Hey, man, 2-0, we're on TV again. Hold up a minute. Miami went into Foxborough and beat New England and Bill Belichick. How do you think Bill Belichick's staff took that one? That's Bill Belichick's staff that they keep peeling coaches off of Belichick's staff and they get head coaching jobs. Now, they got beat badly against Buffalo. I wish they didn't. I wish they would have lost like 24-21, but they lost 35-0. And by losing 35-0, that is a very important deal because you know Miami's coming in bitter, pissed off, and wanting to save their season. They had one of the rare shutouts against them at home. You don't think they're going to be ready to go? This defense, they're a turnover machine. They have two of the best corners in the entire league who are ball hawks who are going to be coming after Carr. You know it. That's going to be very important for them to slow down this defense of Miami. And we know that the Raiders are banged up. And I'm waiting for the injury report from today. And when we have that, we'll give it to you, and we'll talk more and more about the injuries and what's going on here. I mean, what's up with the injuries here? What's going on? I mean, it's week two. Now we're going into week three, and they can't get some of these guys on the field. Mariota, Richie Incognito, waiting to hear on Josh Jacobs. I talked about this team being bubble wrapped. You heard me use that term, bubble wrapped, all preseason. What's the point? You shut these guys down in the preseason, and some of them can't go. They got to be able to go. Hey, man, wink, wink, you can take this any way you want. You're going to have to clear out some guys on this roster who can't play if they can never play, and you're going to have to open up that roster spot. You're going to have to. I mean, we can't sit around and wait another 2 months for a guy to play. Move him out. Bring someone in who can play. We need bodies here in the Raider Nation. You got to have guys on the practice squad good enough to elevate and play as starters. You have to have backups. So far, so good, elevated to play as starters. You have to have that, and you have to be ready to go. That's going to be really important here. I've told you I've been concerned about the injuries more than you. I'm in the building. I'm confident with Cable, Malius, all the coaches. I'm comfortable with them. I like them all. But they can only coach players who can play. If you're in the training room and you're getting treatment every day because you can't play, and you're the same guy every year doing this or two, what's the point? Got to get guys in here who can play. This is a family. This is a team. Whenever anyone's injured, we respect the injury. But there's a business going on here. Guys got to play. You cannot take this Raider team and this offensive line going forward much longer. Can you? No, how? How are you going to take this offensive line this banged up? I mean, don't y'all look like me and say, who's going down this week? I mean, how many backups can you play? And protect Derek Carr? Oh, you got to protect Derek Carr. He's leading the league in passing. The Raiders are leading the league in yards with a patchwork offensive line. Now, the good news is, there's not a lot of good news. Let me just tell you that because Miami's good. And look, a lot of fans think they're going to blow them out. I hope that's the case. I like easy games. I like going up to host a post-game show. I like doing that knowing, whew, man, that was an easy win. I've been doing this since 1998. There haven't been many of those around here. Now, these games are one-possession games, win or lose, and the Raiders need an easy game, and they're never easy. They need a game where they're up by double digits with 5 minutes to go, and it's not a heart attack waiting to happen. That was a tough finish. They finished out Pittsburgh. I talked to Coach Gruden about the fact that the health of the teammates who were on the field and their conditioning, that was the difference in the win against Pittsburgh. They played so hard. They were so well conditioned. They've been practicing in this heat at 7 in the morning. Don't you think that played a major role in them closing out that game in Pittsburgh? I did. I thought that their conditioning had a lot to do with this late. And they were playing at a very high level. So there's a couple of things that I think we should talk about as you should be dialing now, because I shouldn't have to wait for Raider calls this long. We should be calling in on the Dolphin game and wake this bleeping town up and wake up the Raider Nation. I'm back to work here, man. We got to get this win. This is a big game to go 3-0. 702-365-9200. I thought recapping the Steelers game, resiliency. Short week, and they extended that Monday Night Football game. They traveled back east to an early time slot. Team made no excuses. They took care of business against a very well-coached Pittsburgh team. It shows the character of the players and the type of team that Coach Gruden has been building towards. No doubt about that. And I love the fact that this team has great camaraderie. The character of this team showed up in this game. They showed it early in the offseason with the workouts at the park. And Gruden had mentioned multiple times throughout the offseason about their turnout rate at practices and the type of bond these guys are forming because of it. Now, as I mentioned, the offense is clicking. And the Raiders lead the league in passing, but we all know how important balance is to Gruden. And he loves a strong running game. With the injuries that the Raiders have sustained along the offensive line, this process is getting very interesting to me. So it's going to take some time to get these new guys up to speed. I mean, you got Andre James at center, and now you're giving him new tackles. I mean, new guards, excuse me. That's important. Because you want to make your center comfortable so he can make some plays. Let's move on to the Miami Dolphins and what's at stake here. Last week aside, this is still a dangerous team coming off a tough loss. And they're going to be hungry to redeem themselves. They beat the Patriots in week one. Had four takeaways on the season already, which is tied for third most in the league. This was a 10-win team last year. And one of those was in Vegas. So the Raider players need to ignore last week's result and get ready for an absolute brawl. Tua has been classified as out. They'll go with Jacoby Brissett. What type of quarterback is he? We've seen him play a lot. He's a drop-back quarterback. He's great at the quarterback sneak. Anything fourth and two, fourth and one, he's going to push the pile. He's going to do this. And this is going to be a challenge because they have two of the best cornerbacks in the league. Xavier Howard and Jones are two very experienced corners, and they got good safeties behind them. And then finally, the rivalry. Rich history between these two franchises, dating all the way back to the 60s. And Coach Gruden has a firsthand account because he was in one of those big matchups as the Raiders beat the Dolphins 27-0 in the 2000 divisional playoff game in front of Raider Nation in Oakland. So that's where we're at. That's my preview of the game. I'd like to hear yours, 702-365-9200. What will it take for the Raiders to win this game? Don't get all bat crazy on me and tell me this is going to be a blowout. Don't go crazy on me here. Tell me what you're concerned about and how the Raiders win this game. If the Raiders win this game, they go to 3-0. That'll be another win in the bank on the way to 10. Or maybe you thought 9 initially. Or maybe you were dreaming of 11. This is a big one. I think if they don't win this game, they could be 2-2. There's a game they need to win to get to 3-0. Gives them some room when it comes up with the schedule here. And I think the schedule opens up. Charger game's going to be tough. It's a Raider home game in L.A. Chargers are good. They're better than they have been. Chargers are good, and they beat the Raiders last year in Vegas. I like the matchup with Chicago and Justin Fields, but Khalil Mack and that defense is pretty good. Reggie in North Las Vegas, start us off. Reggie, you seem to be the only one alive today. Reggie, go ahead.
Look, man, I don't get it. I actually giving people room because I call in and I get in a lot of times. So I'm okay. Let me get all the way back to Vegas because I'm driving in from Indian Springs right now. But look, I'm here. I'm listening. You got me fired up. You sound like JT the Brick on the radio back in the day. So somebody better let them know. Every game is 100% all-out must-win. I care less about 2-0. I'm not even thinking about that. You got to go 1-0 every week. That's how it's got to be. This defense ain't playing. This special teams ain't playing. Miami comes in and take the ball from you, man. Mm-hmm. Miami, I don't know all their players. I know this much. You cannot sleep on them. Don't think that it's going to be easy, especially because they just got stumped. You got to know it's time to beef it up. Man, the problem I see, though, right here, and it, listening to you made me really think about this. I was thinking at first that the injuries that happened to our O-line early, and for us to get through these 2 weeks with wins, I'm like, okay, that might be a blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. If we start getting our players back week three, we should be all right. But no, we're not getting them back. So this is where these young guys got to step up. They got to step up, and I know the coaches got them coached up. We have to win this game. Raider Nation, you got to support this. Raider Nation, you got to come in here hungry like they're going to be. We got to go pack out Allegiant Stadium and be there and understand how we should be cheering and at the right times, and I don't want to go into all of that. But this ain't no easy win. There's no easy win on this schedule. We got so much history that every team you look around and see that we're playing, we got history with them teams. So we got to come in here. We have to play the best ball we can play every week. 1,000% all out. JT, keep up the good work, man. I really appreciate what you did yesterday. Thanks. With Black Hole Rob, man, I can't wait to get out there Sunday and do a couple of celebration with my Black Hole and Raider Nation friends. This is the Silver and Black Panther, and I'm out.
All right, like that. Appreciate that. The Silver and Black Panther. And you don't have to say you're out. Ryan Seacrest does that. You don't have to say that. You can just say, thank you, JT. Thanks for taking my call. And I thank you for calling, because that's what I do here. I got about 4 or 5 interviews a day, best in town, and we take some calls. And I lose my mind in a couple of monologues and go home. And then dressed up for my second show of the day, where we're talking Raiders more and more nationally now because of the way they're playing. Miami's defense is based on strong principles. Okay? When you look at what they're trying to do and how good they are, this is a team that tries to take away the football. They're built on the turnover. And Derek Carr has got to hold on to the football. Derek Carr's got to continue to take shots downfield. But with the corners that they have here, they need to be very careful because it's two of the best corners in football. So with that being said, I'm trying to figure out the game plan. I have all the stats here in front of me. I can't sit here and say run the ball. They're the third worst running team in the league because Josh Jacobs is not available. Josh isn't available. And I want him to be available. And when they tell me he is, I'll put that into the game plan. Kenyon Drake. Again, there should be a plaque to Mike Mayock in this studio for him bringing in Kenyon Drake. You want to give Gruden credit for it? Mayock, whoever you want to give credit for. I remember fans blanking and moaning. Why are we getting Kenyon Drake, man? We don't have enough on defense. We got nothing on defense. Well, how's Kenyon Drake now? He's an all-purpose feature back who can start and might be more durable than Josh Jacobs. But the offensive line concerns me because Tom Cable's great at coaching the offensive line, but he can only do so much. He can only do so much when he's playing backup offensive linemen, and the backup offensive lineman, Denzel Good's a nice player. He's a nice player. He's not a Pro Bowler. He's out. Richie Incognito is one of the toughest guys on planet Earth. He's not available. I don't know how long it takes to get through a calf injury. Don't know. But last year we nailed it when we told you his Achilles, oh, good, he's done. As soon as they said his Achilles is tight, goodbye, done. Because he's too old. He's suffering a major injury. We want Richie back. If Richie comes back week 6 and there's a playoff team, he's going to be fresh, ready to go. KJ Wright joins us at the top of the hour. We'll get into what's happening with him. And we'll talk about the transition he's making here. When I look at rushing yards and passing yards per game on defense, you know, some teams are just stout against the run. Other teams are just stout when it comes to total defense against the pass. Miami last year, I mean, Miami had a bad game last week, and they're still giving up 219 yards passing a game. The Raiders are trying to be a team on the improvement side, and they still trail Miami when it comes to passing yards a game, giving up 254. But that's good for the Raiders. They're not giving up 300 yards passing. Gus Bradley's system seems to be working really well, and we love that. A couple other big storylines I want to get to here in the monologue, as we're brought to you by the Henderson Hyundai Superstore, Boulder Highway in Henderson. They have the super deals you're looking for. I look around the league. We got a game tonight, Houston, Carolina. Carolina's 2-0. They could be the first team to get the 3-0. And then there's another big game that jumps out at me that I think we need to get into before we wrap up the week tomorrow. And tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon, we're packed. This Kansas City game against the Chargers. Who do you want to win that game? Think about what I just asked you. Who would you like to see win tomorrow, Chargers or Kansas City? I'll tell you why that's important. The Chargers, there's a love fest going on. Like, the Chargers go to the prom every week. Everyone loves the Chargers. I don't know why. I don't know why everybody loves the Chargers. I think everybody is sympathetic. This is the media, not fans, because they have no fans. And they have Justin Herbert. And they're trying to anoint him as the next great quarterback. This game, Kansas City opened up an 8-point favorite. Now they're 6.5. If the Chargers win that game, which they can, I don't think they will, but if they do, that is going to shoot them into the stratosphere. That'll be a great win. Raiders won last year in Kansas City, and it had Raiders on the playoff door all year long after that win. I'd like to see Kansas City bury him before the Raiders go in there on Monday Night Football. I'd like to see Kansas City push him around, beat him up, throw him around, and play tough Kansas City football. And if the Chargers win, that's another loss for Kansas City. The Raiders could go up 2 in the division. I just don't think it's going to be tough to beat it's going to be tough to beat Kansas City this year. Kansas City should win 13 games. Worst case scenario, 12. No one saw the Raiders winning 12 at the start of the year. So if Kansas City starts losing, it gives Raider fans hope for the division. I along with many, didn't think there was a lot of hope to win the division. But now a 2-0 start changes everything. And I'd like to see the Chargers in the distant rearview mirror early. It would be glorious if the Chargers started off 1-2. And if the Raiders beat them, they'd be 1-3. And the Raiders could be 4-0. How about that? But I'm getting too far ahead of myself. Can't get that far ahead of myself. So that's the monologue. We're ready to roll. Whenever I talk X's and O's, it's Remy Martin. Remy Martin Team Up for Excellence. You can find us at the Remy Martin Bar inside the Raiders Tavern and Grill. Just go in there. You'll see all the Remy signage. You can go back, have a sidecar, kick back in the Remy Martin private room or outside on the deck, or go to that back bar where I had a beautiful omelet and had breakfast before the last game. Remy Martin does a lot for us, and we appreciate that. Also, Tom Flores is coming into town this weekend. There's a lot going on with Tom Flores. If you're a Tom Flores fan, this is the weekend. Do not leave your seat at halftime. Please, out of respect to Coach Flores, get your cocktail, get your beer at the two-minute warning, or whenever there's a TV timeout, get your beer, get your beverage, get back in your seat if you can. Tom Flores is going to be honored at halftime with his Pro Football Hall of Fame ring, his bust, his family, his kids, his grandkids. As he told us, his grandson is singing the national anthem. It's a really big deal. And there's a lot of Raiders coming to town, including Freddie Biletnikoff, who's going to join us coming up next. One of the all-time greatest receivers in football history. The College Football Receiver Award is named after him. The Super Bowl XI MVP in the Hall of Famer, college and pro, will join us coming up on the other side. Vic Tafer, Bill Williamson, the Big O, and KJ Wright. That's it. I'm ready to just take a breath and let's see these interviews flow in and hopefully enjoy everything that we're doing here as I'm live from the Lotus Broadcasting Studios. Also, a reminder, the Raiders are offering alternate screening Friday through Sunday for fans attending this game against Miami. Have your clear pass. Have it right. Know what you're doing. Don't wait till Sunday. Get it done here over the weekend so you're all set for the game. It's an early game. 1 o'clock start, 1:05. You want to get in there early. Check out our pregame show at The Torch.
No, we had a 2-0 year last year, you know. It's not where you line up. It's where you wind up, you know. It's past now. We got a long way to go. We still have 15 games. Somebody told me we're playing 17 regular season games. And we're about to play 18 or 19 next year. Who knows? But not to be sarcastic, but no, we want to win this game this week and try to stay in the hunt.
Oh, he can be sarcastic. My next guest knows it. The legend, Fred Biletnikoff, the Hall of Famer, is in town. Field of Dreams, Saturday. Grand Canal Shops, 1 to 2. The Forum Shops, 2:30 to 4:30. And then we're going to promote one of the greatest events that the Raiders have all year, the Crab Fest, coming up Friday, October 22nd. I turn around and you're back in Vegas again. You're in Vegas again. How are you, Freddie?
Back and forth, up and down, catch a plane, go through the airport. It's all fun. It's all fun, you know, especially when it runs smoothly, all right?
Yeah.
But that's the main thing you look for when you get on that plane.
We got a lot to cover, but you're also coming in for your good friend Tom Flores. You're a big part of Canton, obviously, with your gold jacket, and now you're coming in. I believe there's 8 or 9 gold jackets coming in with you to celebrate Tom Flores, especially on Sunday. It's a big deal for you and him, the families, the wives, the kids, and the grandkids who are seeing their grandfather, Tom Flores, get all these accolades.
Who would have thought? I'll tell you what. No, stop. Listen, when I started with Tom in 1965 when he was the quarterback, you know, it was a thrill for me, you know, and being able to grow as a young kid. And Tom not only have the opportunity to play with him for a couple of years until he left, and then when he came back and was a coach, was our receiver coach, offensive coordinator. So, you know, I was able to spend a lot of time with him, and it was a pleasure, believe me, because he's a terrific guy.
Fred Biletnikoff's our guest. So I know you got to be excited watching these games, obviously going to games. You're at Monday Night Football. To see how this offense is evolving. Waller's the go-to target, but then Ruggs is getting deep, and then Renfro, who I know you love, is a possession receiver, and they're getting this kid Brian Edwards going, Fred, who seems to be another great possession receiver who's really strong.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, watching that whole group, you know, play this year, just the first couple games, they look like they're having fun out there. They're making plays, they're making catches, they're making touchdowns, and Carr seems to be throwing the ball really, really well. And everybody's producing. That's the whole thing. And, you know, seeing Ruggs get deep, seeing Edwards catch that one ball Monday night, mm-hmm. and other balls, and of course Renfro being the guy that gets the thing in production and moving the chains and making plays. It's a good group. A good group, and then you throw in there Zay Jones catching the touchdown last Monday. I loved it. It was terrific.
Fred, you know Coach Gruden well, and you know his principles. He wants to run the ball, and he wants to be balanced. He can't do it if this offensive line's hurt and Josh Jacobs isn't available. They're trying to get him available every week. We don't know the status as of today, but they brought in Kenyon Drake. They have depth at the running back position, but when you don't have your star running back and all your offensive line, how difficult is it to run the ball?
Well, listen, being coaching for John for a few years at the Raiders, but when his first time through up until now, there's one thing about John people got to understand. He's going to figure something out, all right? And when he figures it out, there's going to be production with the running backs, okay? Because, you know, he loves the running game. He loves to see the blocking. He loves to see the toughness. And those guys, you know, you go into one game with this, it's like a shock. But, you know, you're giving John an opportunity to have some days prior to this Miami game. Mm-hmm. And he'll figure things out with that running game. Believe me, he will. He doesn't get up that early in the morning for nothing.
Hall of Famer Fred Biletnikoff, you said that. Nice to see the defense now. Some corners that can turn on the football and spot the ball, knock it down or make a play. That's something I think that's changed with Gus Bradley as D coordinator.
You know what? Sitting up there Monday and then watching the game in Pittsburgh, and then I'm sure against Miami, comparing it to last year and seeing those guys playing, there's more intensity, number one. We got guys that can cover, number two. The defensive line is going after people. It's unbelievable. Everybody on defense is around the ball. They're playing with a lot of physicality, and they're playing with a lot of commitment, and it looks great. I'll tell you what, these guys are flying around, and it's like watching the old Raiders play years ago where they're hitting people, getting to the quarterback, running over people. I mean, they're running over each other to get to somebody to tackle. It's unbelievable, you know, but the intensity and everything is just phenomenal. It's what a change from last year.
Fred Biletnikoff joins us. Let's talk about the Crab Fest coming to Vegas for the first time at Paris, Friday, October 22nd. And I want to tell everybody and preface this, this event you've been doing for years up in the Bay Area, every time I go, I'm blown away. The coaches show up. This group shows up. Guys come in from London in the past. This is a family function. Everybody needs to get behind it here in Vegas so we can start this new tradition. The best crab, you make sure the food's amazing. The entertainment, the music is fantastic. Tell me how the Crab Fest initially came about.
Oh, my God. We started at the Dublin, California Community Center where we had, I think, 130 people. And we had all the volunteers, and it was just a brand new experience, and it kept growing to where in 2019, we had like 545 people when we had it the last time up here. And going down to Vegas, you know, we encourage everybody to come because, you know, the one thing we don't monkey around, we get fresh crab. That's the bottom line, okay? Because we have crab eaters that know what kind of crab, if it's frozen or fresh, we get fresh. And you know, the whole thing that Angela puts on, it's a production. You know, from the band, like we got Chicago this year, Lincoln's going to help host it. You know, so we got a good group. We have silent auction, live auction, all the memorabilia that you need to go that you would want to get and buy. So it's a great event, believe me. And at the Paris, you know, Angela was there last time we were in town talking to those people. They're all set. They're going to put a nice big the presentation with the tables in the room is going to be fantastic. And, you know, everybody go. You know, you go on Biletnikoff.org. And you turn on events, and then it kicks on the map, and it shows you all the tables, and then you go from there.
And we're raising money. And we're raising money for your late daughter Tracy, who has such a strong legacy. Here's my opinion on this: Tracy's legacy, Tracy's place of hope, all that is something that we in the family of the Raiders know about, and we're all deeply involved. But my job and everybody's job is to understand what Tracy's legacy can mean to Vegas and for the Vegas businesses and for Vegas locals and new Raider fans to be a part of this because it's a family event.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you speak about, you know, somebody during their life was addicted to drugs and alcohol and made the attempt to go to a facility and on her own. And say, I had enough of this. I missed a great deal of my life in high school because of drugs and alcohol. I've got to get someplace to get myself sober and clean. And she went through a program for 2 years, completed the program, and then, you know, the unfortunate incident happened. But, you know, it just showed that kids that if you wanted somebody, and it's on our website to look in her life and what she did, to get herself back on track and give herself a chance to enjoy life afterwards, even though she knew she missed a lot of years, that it's remarkable. I mean, she really is an example for young kids to go to look up and get the information you need to get yourself clean and sober, and you do have a chance, and there is another life after the drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, and you know, I'm very proud when we do the golf tournament every year, there's always a young girl from Tracy's Place of Hope that comes and gives a speech, and it's difficult. It's difficult for those girls to have that courage and get up there and tell a story about how they're getting clean and sober and how their life is turning around. What a great legacy, right, for Tracy to know that these young girls are saving their lives and then passing on her legacy to others.
Yeah, you know, these young girls, all they're doing is looking for a chance.
Yeah.
You know, just somebody give them a chance to get back to a normal life and enjoy life again. And, you know, as a foundation, we've had the opportunity to do that. And we want to bring it to Las Vegas, what we've done for well over 20 years, and really implement all our productive things that we do for kids that have domestic violence, drugs, alcohol in the Las Vegas area.
So everybody join the foundation on October 22nd at the Paris Hotel Casino. This is a tremendous event that Fred and Angela Biletnikoff put on. I expect everyone who listens to this show to please go to the site, Biletnikoff.org, buy tickets, buy a table, be generous, and understand this is the first time it's here in Vegas. It's important we get off to a great start. And Freddie, keep winning. Now the Dolphins after that, the Chargers. These were teams that you beat your whole career. Now the Raiders got to do it with these new young players.
Oh, I love it. You know, I'll tell you what. The atmosphere in that stadium on Monday night, you know, you would think that it was a Super Bowl game.
Yeah.
I mean, the atmosphere, the people, the support, the music, everything was such a production. And the team goes out there and plays, and it goes back and forth, just like the old days. And they come up the winner. And that's what you need. They had enough guts to hang in there the entire game and keep making plays and keep battling. And that was the impressive thing about it. And now, with the people behind them being in that stadium, those guys have their stadium, beautiful place. Everybody wants to be there. And now they know what it feels like that people are behind you 100%.
Hey, you don't need directions anymore. You're doing tours. I look on the site. You're giving tours. You can get from the top of the place, from the torch, all the way to the field. You know what you're doing now.
All I need is one of those cars they have in the supermarkets. That's all. Me and Jamal can run around together.
I'll see you Friday. We're thrilled to have you here Friday. I'll do everything I can and make sure that our listeners are on top of this at Biletnikoff.org. The Crab Fest coming up. Thanks for doing this, Freddie. Best to you.
Thanks for having us, and go Raiders.
You got it. Freddie Biletnikoff. Please, please, please. You know I don't ask for anything. What have I ever asked for? A beer? A bucket of Modelo's, right? That's it? I need you to buy tickets to this. It's important to me. My family, my wife volunteers at this. A lot of people volunteer, and you could help this organization, Tracy's Place of Hope, the Biletnikoff Foundation. But you can only help if you buy tickets. So go to Biletnikoff.org, click on events, buy a couple of tickets, it's Friday night of a Raider game. This is the biggest event in Raider Nation that weekend. You want to be there with Fred Biletnikoff, having fun, being a part of a great foundation, and then you go to the game feeling good about yourself. You say, wow, we're going to beat the Eagles now. It's the Eagles weekend. Go in. My brother-in-law, my sister-in-law are coming out for it. My kids, real quick story, my kids were 6 and 4, and we brought them to this once, and they just tore the place up. They're great kids, but at that age, running around, we had a little stroller. My wife said, never again with the kids. And we kept going back without the kids, and now we're bringing the kids back now that they're older. Now, but when they were 6 and 4, it was a memory my wife still talks about. Let's get out to Joe in San Antonio. Hello, Joe.
Hey, JT. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I'm super excited about this weekend. This game reminds me a little bit of 2017 when there was a lot of hype after coming off that 2016 season, week 3, Sunday night, 2-0, going up against the Redskins, and it was just a complete letdown. And this game kind of looks like that letdown potential to the old Raiders, to the Raiders of 2017, the Raiders of 2018, 19, and even 20. I don't see that in this team. This team is different. This team, the defense, the coaching, the players, the commitment that they have, that they're showing week in and week out these first two games, is not going to allow this to be a letdown game. Now, we can't take the Dolphins for granted. They're struggling, but we got to know that Dolphins are coming looking for revenge from last week against the Bills, the embarrassment. And we should be thinking about the same embarrassment that happened last year right before Christmas against that Dolphins team, when the Dolphins and the Chargers pretty much put the final nails in our playoff coffin, our playoff hopes. Mm-hmm. So we need to show up for this game. We're getting national media spotlight, and a letdown is exactly the kind of, you know, the fuel for that national media to say same old Raiders. These aren't the same.
Yeah,
old Raiders.
I agree with you on that. Thanks for the call. Gruden doesn't allow letdowns. If they lose the game, they lose the game. If there's a breakdown on defense or a turnover, there's gonna be no letdown. Max Crosby is not going to allow a letdown. Either is Derek Carr. I mean, no letdown. Question is, do they execute properly with the backups and the injuries as they're trying to get everybody ready to go? We'll see. I expect them to win this game. I had certain wins on the schedule this year. This was one of them. I didn't have the Raiders going 2-0, but now they are. They got to keep winning. Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right. Call them if you get in an accident. 702-820-1234. Sam and Ash, the best friends of this show when it comes to personal injury attorneys. Go to samandashlaw.com because you deserve what's right.
If you play the game, respect always is there, whether we play together or not. Today, on this stage, we're all on one team of Gold Jackets. This is a very emotional day for me. I've been blessed with a great life, doing work that I love, with people that I love and adore.
Raiders are breaking out. Nine Gold Jackets, nine for the Dolphin game as they honor Tom Flores at the half with his Canton, Ohio Hall of Fame ring and the Gold Jackets. I bring in a star in Miami, Orlando Azulgary, my good friend, the Big O of the Big O Show, probably the best Dolphins insider I have. And Big O, after that 35-0 loss at home, I know Flores will have this team ready to go in Vegas.
You know, it's JT. I've had to walk a lot of Dolphin fans off the ledge because you got to remember, they started 0-7 2 years ago with no talent when they stripped that thing down, and everybody thought they were tanking. And remember, you brought me on. I told you they weren't tanking. They're trying to win with young guys, and they finished 5-4 that year. And their last win of the season was the end of the Brady dynasty. They beat Brady and Belichick in New England. And they forced them to play in the wild card round instead of the bye week. And that was done. They were over. And then last year, they started 0-2 and then went 10-4 after that. So that's one thing that I've explained to Dolphin fans is that this is a different dude. And, you know, they've had several coaches since the great Don Shula, speaking of Gold Jackets. And I know they've had Jimmy here. And I know Jimmy did great things at UM and at Dallas, but at Miami as the Dolphins, it was all right. I think Flores is the best coach they've had here since Shula. And you are right. He will have them prepared even with Jacoby Brissett, and he will find a way to make it competitive. That is one dude that he's definitely earned my respect. And you know JT over the years. I've been very hard on some of the Dolphin coaches they've had lately.
Big O joins us. I'm just shocked it's hard to get shut out. It's almost impossible to get shut out at home when a team is this good because you get to the 30-yard line, you automatically get three. Just get to the 30 and you get a field goal. What happened in that game after beating New England in Foxborough where they could have a performance like that at Buffalo? Was it all Buffalo playing well, or was just a couple of breaks that turned that game around quickly?
Well, listen, first of all, at the beginning of the season, I said Buffalo is the one team in the AFC that can challenge, I believe, the Chiefs for the rights to go to the Super Bowl. So let's just call it like we see it. Buffalo is the best team in this division, and they're clearly the creme de la creme up there in the AFC. They deserve that respect. They've earned that respect. So, yes, it was definitely Buffalo. But, JT, in that game, Jacoby Brissett threw a bomb right in the hands of Devontae Parker in the end zone. Nobody stopped him from dropping that ball. Mm-hmm. He stopped himself. Albert Wilson dropped two balls inside the five. So did Jakeem Grant. In fact, when they took that 14-0 lead, Miami's defense shut down the Bills for the rest of the half, and Miami had four possessions in the scoring zone. So they easily could have either tied or even taken the lead at halftime. And then the second half, they opened up with that drive. They scored. It was 21-0. It was over, and it was done at that point. It was just too hard for them to come back against that defense and with the offense where it was at right now. So it was a mixture of both. It's one of those days where nothing went right for them. And then they were playing one of the best teams in the NFL and clearly one of the best teams in the AFC. So it was just a mixture of nothing went right. And I would expect them to be prepared this week, although there's an obvious weakness right now, and that's the offensive line. JT, it is just way too young. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we all kind of love the concept of investing a lot of picks in the offensive line, but when you're investing in that line, you'd like to have some experience mixed in with the youth. And there's four young guys that are looking at each other and they got to count on each other and they've never been through this. And it's a lot easier for a young guy when he's got a 10-year veteran on one side and a pro bowler on the other side to kind of help him and guide him. They don't have that right now. And Jesse Davis is our most experienced guy at right tackle. And really, JT, he's kind of a sixth man is really what he is. I love Jesse, but as a sixth guy that can fill in on the different spots. So looking at those two rushers for the Raiders, that, you know, Crosby and Ngakoue, that is going to be one hell of a challenge for the offensive line.
The best sports talk host in Miami, clearly, the Big O joins us. I want to jump in with Xavien Howard and Byron Jones. These are two. I interviewed Coach Gruden today in the facility for TV and radio, and he couldn't stop talking about the play of Howard, a ball hawk, a guy who's a turnover machine. And Derek Carr leads the league in passing. Only quarterback to throw for over 700 yards. He's got over 800, and he's got four or five targets that they're trying to go to. Does he avoid Howard in this game exclusively and go the other way?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's no doubt, JT. I don't know why even people try to throw to Howard. It's just ridiculous to throw to Howard. You shouldn't do that. And they have enough receivers, and obviously the challenge of the tight end. And I think, you know, Eric Rowe has done a really good job. And last year he was toasted by Waller. So he's really looking forward to that. And they picked up a kid, which being out in the West Coast, you know him well, Javon Holland, who played for Oregon. Love this kid. I was a huge, you know, JT, I go to the East-West Shrine and the Senior Bowl and the Combine every year. Javon Holland was one of my guys. I love that guy. A lot of my scouts I talk to around the league love the guy. And when the Dolphins drafted him, I was really happy because that dude is a ball hawk and a playmaker. And I would bracket. I would try to do whatever I can with Waller, who's a freak of all freaks, and bracket those two guys with that guy and try to control them. But, you know, you got to go to Waller. You got to go to everybody else that X is not covering. If X is covering your guy, you definitely need to stay away. You're better challenging Nick Needham at the slot, who, by the way, is a good football player. This is a street free agent that's turned himself into a starting slot corner. Tough kid, good player. Byron Jones is a good player. But X is a superstar at that position. So just like Waller, that's a superstar that you've got to go to because that's a guy that can bail you out anytime. It's the same thing here. I think X is the guy you stay away from, and you try to challenge everybody else.
Big O, with about 2 minutes, I've seen now Garth Brooks, Guns N' Roses opening up with Wolfgang Van Halen, Mammoth. I thought they were fantastic, and now I got the Stones coming without Charlie. I met my wife at a Stones show. I always go see the Stones. You love live music as much as anyone I know. Is live music opening up? I don't know, vaccines or not. What's it like in South Florida with you seeing shows again?
Well, yeah, no, I'm starting to go to shows. I just went to Green Day recently. I went to see, it was like 3-4 bands there. I've been able to go to shows. Last night, Hall & Oates and Squeeze. I'd never seen Squeeze. I was actually looking forward to Squeeze, so I was able to see them. I'm actually going to see Genesis in Cleveland.
Nice.
I'm going to travel up there. I'm going to go see Metallica and Greta Van Fleet in Atlanta coming up later on this year. So yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be in the pit there with Metallica and Greta, so I cannot wait for that. The last time I saw Metallica was Avenged Sevenfold here at the stadium here in my backyard. But yeah, I'm so glad that live music is coming back. As you know, man, I love myself some live music, and I saw Kiss back in Vegas. What was it, 2 years ago on a February? I flew into Vegas, saw Kiss there, and then I flew to Los Angeles to see him again at the Forum, and then I flew back to Miami. So that was like a quick 72-hour trip a couple of years ago, right before the pandemic hit. In fact, my last concert before the pandemic was UFO, and they're retiring now, and I was so happy to go see them in two different spots in Florida. So yeah, I'm loving it, my brother. I'm glad that we're getting some music back. And the good thing is, I think a lot of bands now, JT, they kind of came to the realization that, hey, time is short. Life is short. Hey, if we're going to do a reunion, let's do it now. We don't know what the future holds. And I think the pandemic is going to be a benefit for all of us, that some of these guys and bands and women that we've never seen, we might get a chance, because they know that they can't take the road for granted and the fans for granted. And they got to give it another go, just like the Fugees are making their return, you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm with you, my brother. I am really happy that music is back.
Take care, Big O. Good luck. It's going to look great on TV. Raiders, Dolphins. Thanks for previewing the Dolphins. Hope to see you soon.
Anytime for you, my friend. You
got it.
Good.
You got it. The Big O, Orlando Azelgarry. So what is the takeaway from that interview? What's the one takeaway? Do not throw it to Xavier Howard. They think he's Deion Sanders in Miami. He's a good player. Very good. But Gruden's concerned about it. You'll hear it in the interview tomorrow, where he also references Black Hole Rob, who passed away. Very proud of the interview I did with him today because of what the connection Coach had with the Black Hole and really has going forward. Good first hour. KJ Wright is going to join us. I'm excited. Don't miss that. He's coming up next.